Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 88 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared Now on Mondays. Congratulations, everyone. I am one of your hosts, Jim Biscardi. And as always, I am joined by Megan Peters and Christian Hoffer.
Welcome. Hello.
Hello. We are here to make your Mondays brighter.
Yes.
For everyone watching, we have a nice new shiny setup. Makes us look way more like we know what we're doing.
It is.
Which is really nice.
It is almost like we are committing to doing a weekly Twitch broadcast.
I just got the notification on my phone that we're live, so
there we go.
Come on, so, notifications.
So yes, the podcast schedule on comicbook.com is growing a little bit, and so we had to kind of reshuffle some things, and so now the Pokemon podcast will be available on Mondays, same time, 12 Eastern and 9 a.m. Pacific, and then our Comic Book Nation show, which used to be on Fridays, is now on Wednesday. And then if you're a big, big Marvel geek, Friday we launch Phase Zero, hosted by Brandon Davis, which will be our show all about Marvel and, you know, comics, movies, TV, all that fun stuff. So a lot of fun stuff happening for the rest of the comic book team. But that's not why you're here, because you are here to talk about Pokemon. That's why we're here, because we love this stuff.
Oh, is that what we're here for?
And it's funny because last week, admittedly, bit of a light week. The time in between last week's episode and today, ton of stuff. So I am excited for today's show. But if you're new, just a quick heads up there. You know, we do a lot of news and stuff in the first half. Then we take a little bit of break. Then we do a deep dive discussion. And then we get a Pokemon fact of the week. And then we get on out of here. We'll jump right into it. I'm putting this thing to the top of the list because I've been dying to talk about it. Well, I guess it what happened over the weekend. Premium Bandai launched one of the most interesting Pokemon products I've seen in a while. And that is a giant Gengar bed plush. I don't, how are they classifying this thing?
I mean, it's almost like kind of like a weird futon bed, like basically what you had in kindergarten when you had like nap time. Like, I'm going to be totally honest, if I was able to purchase this and I had a child of the age, that would be my child's nap bag for school.
That's it.
That was happening.
I 100% want to like find this and give it to my kid and let her bring it to school because it is absolutely fantastic. Okay, so if you haven't seen it, it's basically, it looks like, for all intents and purposes, like Gigantamax Gengar, right? Where it's like it's open giant mouth, where in this case it is not a portal to hell.
We don't know, it might be, but
Megan, you could probably correct me if I'm wrong here, but I like Japan has more of a nap culture than we do, yes. Right? And so
yes.
It's kind of like, it's like a nap pod for all intents and purposes. So you can put your head inside the Gengar's mouth that would, you know, theoretically block out any light or whatever. And then its tongue rolls out to presumably be a pad of some sort. It looks really uncomfortable to sleep on. I'm not totally sure, but in any chance, it is one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
Yes. My favorite thing about this, I mean, one, it's just amazing. Premium Bandai has really come out strong in the last 365 days with its Pokemon products. I mean, between the cocoon Pokemon sleeping bag and this like sleeping nap pad, I'm really into this. And I'm part of me wonders if this is just some weird lead up to Pokemon Sleep because we've not heard about it in so long. But the other thing is this is just one of many types of these nap like hoods that they've put out in Japan. Mm-hmm. Premium Bandai about a year or two ago put out a Kirby one that like you put your head into Kirby's mouth. And I bought that on the resale market after because you couldn't get them ordered in America, unfortunately. And the same goes with Gengar. This is available in Japan only. So if you're in the United States and you want this, you're going to have to rely on aftermarket pricing, which is going to be interesting to say the least. So I waited and I got one and my cats used it as a bed. So when this Gengar inevitably hits eBay at some point, yes, I will 900% be owning this.
I just want to know how they settled on Gengar as the Pokemon that you insert your head into.
Is a dream eater.
But if you have Lickitung, you have lots of Pokemon with big mouths. That you could,
That's the thing, like take into account like everything that we've seen, like they've kind of done with Gengar to kind of show like, how big he can get just from even from the Gigantamax version to some of the weird stuff we've seen in the anime. I feel like Gengar of Pokemon makes a lot of sense.
I mean,
I'm not just saying that because I love Gengar, but like, I mean, it makes sense.
I'm not complaining about this choice. I mean, it's certainly less random than the freaking Metapod sleeping bag. I mean, at least when I saw it, I was like, oh, this is merchandise that, I enjoyed looking at. Like the Metapod one, I think there was a novelty because there was just like, what is even happening? And I feel like a lot of that was the same thing. Somebody in our Twitch asked, why are all the Pokemon sleeping bags weird? Can't they make a normal one? They do make normal ones. We just don't talk about them.
The next thing we have to do is decide which Pokemon is going to be next in the line. I'm pitching an official Jigglypuff one, and you put your head into Jigglypuff's mouth, and there's like built-in like soft speakers and it plays the Jigglypuff lullaby. That's my pick.
That's not a bad one.
Obviously it's going to be Lickitung. I just want a big Lickitung where you roll it out, roll out the tongue. It's twice the length of Gengar's.
No, here's what you can do with Lickitung, right? Like, I don't know if you've been to, obviously no one's been on an airplane recently, but like they have those things that like I've seen where you kind of like wrap your head, but also kind of works as a neck pillow. You put like a Lickitung kind of neck pillow that like sits on your shoulder, but then you use the tongue to wrap around your eyes, basically, to conceal the darkness and for your ears. That, could you imagine like just like coming onto a plane and like seeing that would be terrifying.
I'd be like, oh my god, it's amazing. like a face hugger but Pokemon edition.
I'm just very proud of us. We've gotten through this entire conversation without making any sort of untoward comment. Good job, guys.
Didn't even cross my mind.
I'm proud of this entire podcast team.
All right. Here we go. A Furret neck pillow, Huckleberry Finn.
Oh, I think
that's a good one. I like that option. All right. So that's, enough on the, weird Pokemon stuff. My Twitter feed was just lit up with people posting pictures of the crazy Gengar thing, and it was just incredible. Speaking of Twitter, if you haven't played Pokemon Red in a while and can't get your hands on the game or don't want to do a emulator of some sort and kind of like the Twitch Plays aspect to Pokemon games, you can now play Pokemon Red on Twitter. Kind of.
So this is one of those. This is very similar to Twitch Plays Pokemon or Fish Plays Pokemon or any of the various gimmick Pokemon playthroughs. How this works is a game designer actually set up a auto script. I don't know exactly what you would define this as, but if you comment on one of his tweets with one of the basic commands, every 15 seconds it updates it, and you know, whatever gets the most, you know, comments, so, you know, up, down, left, right, start, select, A, B, it then goes and, you know, inputs that into a Pokemon emulator, which then automatically updates on his Twitter profile. So it's really interesting. I was really impressed by just the ingenuity shown here. Like, you know, it always...
The real question is Twitter better than a goldfish or whatever the beta fish was at playing Pokemon?
Well, yeah. I mean,
the fish discovered a weird thing that no one had ever discovered before. It's so true. Maybe we'll see what happens. I don't know. I'm just impressed. I don't understand anything about scripts or coding or anything. I have no idea, and I will not pretend to know, but this just seems like weird magic to me, and I'm so into it, so I love it.
Yeah. I think for me, too, is like... because it's on Twitter and it's not really a thing that, you know, you can kind of like watch and like, cause like I will not lie. Like there'll be times where like, I will see a, you know, Twitch plays Pokemon kind of thing. And I'll watch it for maybe 5 minutes just to see. I mean, cause like, I don't know if you've ever seen any of those. It is madness. Like it is just insane. Like the commands are just scrolling by and it's like, you know, dudes walking it, you know, someone's walking in circles or going up and down or like, you know, there are a lot of people who like to like be smart and like, press the start button. And so then you're stuck in a menu loop for, you know, 10 minutes until, you know, someone can get out. I wonder if the novelty of it being on Twitter wears out and then it just like stops. I hope not. Like I would love to have a headline in a month from now being like, you know, Twitter beat Pokemon Red.
My issue with it is it's hard to follow. So, you know, it updates every 15 seconds, but you can't really get a sense, like, you know, one of the things
I don't think we said what the Twitter account was.
Give me a second. I honestly forgot. It's Monday. The Browns finally won a playoff game, so Christian is not operating at 100% here. Give me one second. Twitter. I know it's somewhere. Because I wrote about it.
Screen shakes.
There it is. What the heck did I put it? I got nothing. So yeah, anyways, that is Screen Shakes is his name. And you know, he's an actual game designer too.
Yep.
So, you know, that's why I thought it was interesting. But you know, he said that he was figuring out a way to archive the previous screenshots because when Twitch plays Pokemon, the very first one happened. You know, the shared experience of that and watching basically the internet brute force crowdsource their way to a Pokemon victory was fascinating. And also you got really connected to the Pokemon that survived that just awful purge because, you know, because the thing was, you know, Pokemon would frequently get released. So good Pokemon, like, you know, like the starter Pokemon got released and it was just like, it was pretty amazing and awful to watch. It was very nerve wracking. But you know, with all of that, you know, keeping all of that in mind, you know, once they figure out that nuance to it, so you can see the progression, I think it'll turn out to be really fun. I do like that it is kind of condensed and optimized so that, you know, a coordinated group could quickly make their way through the game as opposed to relying on just madness and randomness and chaos in order to get through a game.
Yeah.
Now, the real question is, what will be next? Will Instagram take on Pokemon? TikTok? Like, well, I'm just curious, which social media platform, like, as a crowdsourcing means, is going to take on Pokemon next? Twitch? Twitter? Now what?
Email. Well, I never mind. I'm not even. I was going to make a topical reference.
Let's move to the Pokemon Go section of the show. Yes. A bunch of stuff on the Pokemon Go front, including reportedly made a bunch of money last year, which I don't think surprised anybody.
Here's my shocked face.
Close to 2 billion.
Yeah.
Billion with a B.
This was the year that Pokemon Go really figured out how to monetize.
Yep.
I mean,
boy did they.
About it enough.
The fan base, you know, all fan bases naturally, all game player bases naturally shrink over time. You know, Pokemon Go has done a decent job of kind of mitigating some of that turnover with stuff to bring in new players. But, you know, I really think that, you know, they discovered, because Niantic for years, their big things like, oh, we're all about live events. We do these in-person events. And that's a tradition that started back with Niantic and Ingress. You know, because they used to do these like live Ingress events, which were really cool. And, you know, but I really think that with COVID kind of shutting that avenue down, turning to the, you know, doing the Pokemon Go, I can't remember what their annual event is. Pokemon Go Fest, doing that, you know, worldwide with ticketed, you know, doing that ticketed, just, I mean, that was a game changer. I mean, I know tons of people who came back specifically just to play that and did the event like for the whole weekend. And once I think they realized, oh my God, how much money have we been leaving on the table? Because, Pokemon Go Fest, and I've attended Pokemon Go Fest before. You know, they invited me out in year two to show how they didn't screw it up. It's fun. It's a fun event. It's a little bit intense. And, you know, it always felt like there were more people there. Like trying to get food there was just ridiculous. instead, I just cut out early and went back to the airport and ate at the airport. it was a lot of fun. But at the same time, it's like, oh, this is cool for like the 5,000 or 6,000 of us who attend. You know, like I don't know what their attendance numbers were, but you know, it's a mere fraction of the actual player base. And doing these worldwide ticketed events, and you know, they did Pokemon Go Fest. They're doing, you know, Pokemon Go Tour. I'm assuming there will be more Pokemon Go Tour stuff. And I'm not saying they're not going to do stuff like, you know, Pokemon Go Fest will probably return to a live event at some point, but you know, realizing that it, you know, shockingly, when people don't have to pay hundreds of dollars to fly out to a city and do a thing, more people will go and pay money for that.
Look, it makes total sense because, you know, look, everyone was at home, right? Like, it's just like how they were able to make the game engaging during a time where people couldn't do something that was inherent to the original idea of the game of being out and about and all that is, it is quite genius in a bit. And I'm kind of glad that, you know, that they figured it out, because I know, like I said, like that's been kind of the story for me this year. Like I've gotten really excited to play again, and not that, you know, I didn't have to go out and about, but like, you know, I've been able to enjoy what the game has to offer from the comfort of my home, or, you know, in the limited places where I'm going, for it not to, you know, not to be a big deal.
Well, and I just think that, you know, because Niantic has kind of played that FOMO game, you know, the fear of missing out, with GoFest and stuff. And the problem is every year it has been a disaster. You know, cause you miss out. Like getting tickets has always been a bear, no matter what event. Like Safari Zones in Europe, tickets sell out within like 30 minutes. You know, Safari Zones here in the United States, they sell out in like 10. You know, GoFest sells out in 2 minutes, and then no one has internet, so you can't even, you know, play it. And so this is just, it just makes more sense. I'm not shocked that Pokemon Go is, you know, made a lot of money, and they will probably continue to make a lot more money. And just wait until they release their Catan game, because boy, that's just going to rake in the dollars there.
All right, we had to take a quick break to pay for the show, and then we'll come back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, perfect. That's just enough pause. I know. I apologize, Twitch viewers. I'm sorry. But we have to do these things to pay for the show. Anyway, we talked last week about the Gucci thing. The Gucci Pokemon Go. The Gucci Pokemon Go North Face clothes stuff. So I admittedly missed this one, so I'm curious to see what this is all about.
The Gucci times North Face?
Yes.
So how this whole thing works is originally how this was set up is there's a current collaboration between Gucci and North Face, which you can take a look at what they are online. We talked about last week. I have no fashion connections whatsoever. So it's like, oh, look at these items. Part of this, if you went to one of 100 Gucci pop-up locations, you could go and get the stuff. And they, I think a bunch of people, myself included, was like, oh, cool. So if you want to go into a mall during a global pandemic, you know, to get these free items. So they released a code. Yep. They released a free code. It was needed. I picked up the items. It's free. You just go and...
Is it still available?
Yeah, it's still available.
What's the code?
It's like a bunch of random letters and numbers.
Oh, that's true. All right. So head on over to comicbook.com where we have the codes for you since it is a bunch. Oh, it is a bunch of random letters and numbers. So
yeah, it's like not, a weird.
It's definitely not an easy one. It's like GXSD5CJ556NHG. That's it.
When you get your first Wi-Fi router and the password is insane before you change it. That's basically what the password looks like.
And you have to like get a magnifying glass because it's only on the bottom of the router and very the smallest font of everything else. So good Lord. So if you want some of that apparel, head on over to comic book. You can find the code there or, you know, rewind 10 seconds, slow it down and write it down. Because I did say the right code. I didn't just put out random letters. All right. Last thing on the Pokemon Go front, we have a Sinnoh celebration event.
Yes.
Celebrations.
We've just described what the event is. It celebrates the Sinnoh region. Shiny Buizel will be the featured shiny Pokemon, and Heatran, for whatever reason, will be the featured legendary Pokemon.
Niantic or whatever, but they really love Buizel.
Buizel's a popular Pokemon.
Is it?
Yeah, it was one of Ash's like featured Pokemon during the Sinnoh region.
Chad, on a scale of 1 to 10, I need to know how you feel about Buizel. Because for me, it's like a 5.
I mean, it's one of the Gen 4 more marketable Pokemon. They've always, you know, Pokemon has always done Buizel stuff. You know, like I said, it was one of Ash's like best Pokemon during that
region. A lot of sevens. Sevens coming in. Oh, HD Walker, 5, thank you. I am It is pretty unique. I'll give it that. It's okay.
I'm there with you. My rating personally is like a 3 possibly.
I'll tell you, like, you know, I don't have any strong connection to the Pokemon. I'm just saying, like, it's always been one of the Pokemon that they use. It's no Lucario. But you know, then again, you know, Pokemon Go seems very intent on not making sure that none of its players have Lucario. don't even get me effing star there. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's jump to the anime news. And so obviously some spoilers on the anime front, because obviously it is airing in Japan. We're getting, you know, promos and stuff like that. So if you are only watching on Netflix, maybe come back in like 10 minutes and then it should be safe. But anyway, I'm going to start. Should we start with the big return?
Well, yeah, we should start with that. Yeah, let's start with that.
I mean,
Gary Oak is back, baby.
Yes.
Well, not quite, but he's on his way.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah, Pokemon Journeys came back finally in Japan. It was on a month-long hiatus at the end of 2020, because I think it was just done with the year. I think it was just done. So I understand that. So now it's back, fresh year, new start. Released a new opening, has a bunch of nice new artwork in it. And in the opening for anime, as we've discussed in this podcast, the openings contain scenes and clips of things that are to come in the future episodes of an arc. And so we got a nice little picture of Gary, which we haven't seen him in a hot minute.
I believe it was 2010.
Yeah.
2010 or 2012. It was at the end of the Pokemon Diamond Pearl series.
Yeah.
Good on the Pokemon company for showing restraint. Like, this is the thing. Like, I feel like, but I don't know. For me, and I would imagine for other, you know, just diehard old school fans or whatever, like, this feels like a nice return. Like, you know, like I'm trying to come up with like a wrestling equivalent, and I just can't, because now everyone shows up
literally, you know, all the time. It would be like, it was like when Brent Michaels like had to like retire for like 5 years in the middle.
Brent Michaels? You mean Shawn Michaels?
Shawn Michaels. I'm sorry. It is Monday. You made me do this podcast on a Monday.
Or I would say, or like, there was that, I remember the John Cena Royal Rumble return. This is kind of what that feels like. Yeah, right? Like,
I blank out on everything because I don't know.
They can just like, whoosh.
But I do like what Huckleberry Flynn said, where he says he wants a parody of Cobra Kai, but about Gary Oak. That is something I can relate to personally, and I would like it.
Having just finished season 3, I am all about a Cobra Kai style show with Ash and Gary. But who is their crease? Like, I don't know who their crease ends up being.
The dude with the stupid dark ray from, you know, so in the because that guy was a snot.
Yes, he was.
But yeah, like, no, here's the thing with Gary is that, you know, he antagonized Ash right up to the point where he realized that Ash was a better trainer. Because, you know, he lost that like obnoxious edge at the end of the Indigo League. And then when Ash like straight up beat him with his Charizard against the Blastoise, one of those, just, it's like you watch that battle and it was a really cool moment. And, you know, of course it was going to be Ash's Charizard versus, you know, the Blastoise. But at the same time, you're like, really? This is how this is going down, eh? Ever since then, you know, Ash and Gary have mostly been friends. I do think that, you know, since Pokemon Journeys does actually really pay attention to continuity more than probably any Pokemon anime series, mm-hmm. you know, has, you know, it'll be interesting to see how Gary reacts to Ash basically entering his field, because, you know, Gary quit being a Pokemon trainer to become a Pokemon researcher, and now Ash is technically doing a research, you know, as a research fellow. He doesn't do very much research.
In this case, depending on what Gary's been up to, Gary might actually be the better one of the two in this particular field, and Gary can finally be the best of them, which I guess would be nice. because Ash really hasn't done much of anything, except he has run into some, quite a few legendary or like mythical Pokemon or like top tier Pokemon during his position as a fellow. Gary's probably run into like Arbok or something.
I mean, but to your point with Ash, right? And that leads into our next thing. We were all wondering how the anime was going to approach the fossil creatures of of Galar. And sure enough, we got to see a Dracovish.
Yeah.
It was great. It was disturbing. But
the harbinger of ghost destruction has finally arrived. It's not to say, you know, Dracovish is a biter. He likes to bite heads. And, you know, I think that one of these times, Ghost is going to get a little bit too obnoxious and it's just going to be a chomp chomp. And
yeah. I'm really excited to see how Dracovish combines with Ash's current lineup and journeys, because he has an insanely good team at this point. I mean, Ash has really gotten some top tier Pokemon so far. So I am very excited to see how this kind of pans out with his whole shtick right now, because we don't really know necessarily what his ultimate goal is right now. This anime hasn't been clear. He's just kind of like living his best life, which I'm a fan of. I mean, obviously he wants to like defeat Leon, but
as you know. Do we all?
Yes.
I watched another. So my son and I, we've been making our way through Pokemon Journeys episodes, and we watched the Leon versus Raishan match, and it's just like, oh my god, like I hate this guy. I really just hate this guy. He is just the worst. It's just like, I was just like watching it, and I was just like, it's like Leon, oh, like just, oh, it was awful. But yeah, no, like they've established he wants to make the master, you know, the master tier or whatever the translation is, the master league or whatever.
Right.
But you know, that league. I do not understand though, like, you know, he's going to have to pick up some like big wins coming up here, because he is just moving the ranking system. He's just moving along a snail's pace right now. Because he's only in like, what, the 800s or something like that? Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll see. But Dracovish is a solid Pokemon. I'm glad that Ash finally, you know, I'm curious to see, like, if Ash is going to continue to, like, you know, if now we're going to see the transition to Ash getting just more Galar Pokemon, or if we're going to start seeing more, you know, Pokemon from other regions pop up.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, I mean, we already have several, you know, episode titles and synopses coming forward into February. And we know as February comes in towards the end of January, I mean, we're having Suicune come back. We're having, you know, more Pokemon name brand Pokemon coming out that aren't necessarily attached to Galar, but there's not a region associated. So I'm assuming that we're going to go forward into some other regions, because there's still plenty that this anime hasn't visited. And even the ones that it has visited, like Alola, I mean, it only spent like one episode there. So there's still plenty for this anime to do. That's what I think is most appealing about this series to me so far, is I just don't know what it's going to do, which is really refreshing to me. There's not the same kind of step-by-step beats that you're used to with the other anime seasons up to this point. And I mean, we know, I mean, we didn't mention this when we were talking about Gary, but we do know that Iris is coming back as well. She was shown in the opening as well. So we're going to get some nice homages back to Black and White. And the opening also shows that Chloe or Koharu in the Pokemon Journey series, she's kind of been like the odd woman out of the kind of Go and Ash combo. It seems like she's going to start playing a more substantial role as like a third companion for real, which is going to be interesting to see. So lots of good things coming, which I'm excited about.
The only thing that I and also, you know, we're finally Wickestrom from the Kalos Elite Four is, you know, going to, he seems to be a major part. You know, it looks like he's going to be introduced as a new rival or something like that, you know, because he's only made a cameo appearance in the anime up to this point. So this will, that'll be pretty cool to see. I will say this though. It's time.
Here comes the hot take train. Choo
choo. On comicbook.com, an article was written about mm-hmm. Iris that referred yes. to her mm-hmm. as a fan favorite companion. And I'm sorry, but that is the most inaccurate description. Iris.
Go, nope. Megan, go.
Considering that I'm the person who approved that headline and created that headline, I fundamentally disagree with you.
No one likes Iris! No one likes her. She is literally the worst. She's like, oh, Ash, even though I'm 2 years younger than you, you're such a kid. Oh, Ash, like it was that entire series was a total complete regression. Like, you know, it is objectively the worst of the Pokemon series. And she is objectively the worst of the companion. Yo, they had to go and literally break continuity and never reference, when they went to Pokemon X and Y, they're like, oh yeah, we don't know anything about what Ash has done before this.
Okay. I would just like to say that everyone in the comments, there's a whole bunch.
Whole bunch of Iris support in the chat, Christian. Continuity,
what? They're coming back to Iris. So clearly the continuity is there. They are coming back to Iris in Pokemon Journeys, which is objectively one of the better series that franchise has put out in the anime so far. I understand that Iris was a frustrating character because she's supposed to be. She's like a little kid. She's frustrating. I mean, you have kids. You know how they can just like get under your nerves. I mean, it's fundamentally a story about kids. And yes, she did annoy me at first, but Iris and the progression she makes towards the end of Black and White is a really satisfying thing to see. Also, her like, I just like her optimism and her gumption. She wants to be a Dragon Master, and she's going to get there. I'm excited to see where she's gone since Black and White, because we haven't seen her in a while, like you said. Doesn't mean it's because she's awful. It means because she's been off doing her own best life. She's been living her best life. She's been doing her best work. I'm ready to see Iris come back with Dragonite and have a nice little match with Ash, and they'll have a nice little moment. And you can hate on Iris as much as you do Leon, but you're wrong.
I mean,
that's all I have to say.
No, here's what's going to end up happening. There's going to be a Leon Iris, like, alliance. And it's going to be like a convergence of awful. And don't get me wrong. Like, Iris, I will say this about Iris. You know, Iris goes through a lot more growth than literally any other of Ash's companions because she had to. She literally had to. Otherwise, and part of the reason why I don't like Iris in the Pokemon anime, let's be clear here. Iris is an amazing character in the Pokemon games. She is the champion of the Unova region. And to see her get reduced to that, you know, it's kind of insulting. It's like, here is a Pokemon trainer who has literally risen to be the best.
Yeah.
And, you know, we could have gotten that arc, you know, in the Pokemon anime. Instead, we got the, oh, she got less obnoxious. Congratulations. She matured a bit. And it was just a disservice. It was just a disservice to the Pokemon Black and White games, which are fantastic games. And quite frankly, I think that the Pokemon Black and White, the Best Wishes series, other than like the end stuff, because that was a pretty good arc. But, you know, it was just, it was a low point for the Pokemon series.
All I know is we'll have to agree to disagree on this subject.
There it is. You both have your opinions, and that is A-okay. I do want to point out, though, because Barnwan93 did mention it in the chat earlier, that Ash's team is super weak to fairy types, and that, like, if he were to go up against Galar's Opal, he'd probably not fare too well. And personally, I would love to see that because Opal is one of my favorite characters from Sword and Shield. So,
oh yeah, Opal's facial expressions deserve a museum gallery. So yeah, very excited.
All right. Well, that was a lively discussion about the anime. A lot of things coming. Look, here's the thing. We've been saying it all along. Journeys has been a lot of fun. I have not watched the Alola episode yet, and I also have not finished Sun and Moon. But what happens to all the Ultra Beasts? Are they like done? Do they just stop appearing at the end of that, and that's what we just assume? Or could we get Ultra Beasts in Journeys?
I mean, it's possible that we could get Ultra Beasts in Journeys. I mean anything's not, like, possible.
Yeah, there's not like a decisive conclusion on what happens to any of the Ultra Beasts or their methodology of coming into the world. They're just kind of left hanging. So it's very, very possible that we
can. I just want to see Buzzswole again.
I agree with that. Buzzswole is the best.
I mean, I'm
all
sure.
All right, let's move to the Pokemon fact of the week, and then we can get out of here.
It's a kind of we're to Tauros. There's the only really interesting thing about Tauros, to be honest, in the Pokedex entries is that, you know, their temperaments seem to be tied to the region and to the weather. So like the Alola Tauruses are like really chill, but the Galar Tauruses are just like awful, apparently. Like, you know, they specifically call out like the region. So it's like one of those like really interesting things where and part of this is it's tied to the Pokedex entries themselves. Like one of the evolutions of the Pokedex entries is in the Sun and Moon, and then in Sword and Shield, they have really tried to like flavor up the regions using the Pokedex entries in a way that you didn't see before. You know, that is a relatively recent development, but you know, they specifically note that, you know, the Alola Tauruses are much chiller than elsewhere, and the Galar Tauruses are much worse than elsewhere.
I would just like to know.
I mean, just think of where they're living, right? I mean, it makes total sense.
And this is true. I would just like to note that the Emerald entry for Tauruses says that if there's nothing around for them to fight, they just get angry and they just start charging at trees, and they won't stop until all the trees have been knocked over because it makes them calm. And like, this Pokemon has serious anger issues.
Serious anger issues.
Like serious ones. Jeez.
I actually kind of love that quite a bit. That's really good.
I can just like see it in my mind. So I love it.
Well, there you go. There is your Pokemon fact of the week to help make you a better, smarter Pokemon fan. Congratulations. There are, we do those at the end of every episode. So there are 87 of them that you can go back and check out. Because if this is your first one, you definitely should check back at some of our older episodes. I know there are definitely some fans who have done that, and we appreciate them very much. You can find episodes of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared wherever podcasts can be found. Apple, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, etc. All that stuff is where it is. We have recently, like we said at the top of the show, have started doing this show live. So if you want to not wait for the recorded episode and have some spare time on a Monday morning, if you're in the U.S., noon Eastern is when we go live on Twitch, twitch.tv/comicbook. That's at 9 a.m. Pacific time and 5 p.m. in the U.K. Or 5 p.m. in over in England if you are overseas and like to catch us there. So yeah, like I said, the best way to support this show is to tell friends about it. So if you're part of a Pokemon Go Facebook group, or you participate in some smaller groups on Reddit or whatever, and you know, you're on Discord, tell your friends, just send them a link to your platform of choice on the show, or you can send them to our Twitch page. The more people who get involved in the show, the more we get to do this. So please do this. And if you want to get in touch with us, you can find us on Twitter at PokemonPodCB is the one for the show. I'm at Jim Viscardi.
I'm on Twitter at MegaPeterCB.
And I am at CHofferCBus.
So just a reminder, this show is now on Monday. So get your week started with some Pokemon Go. It's the best way to start a week, honestly. And
new episodes will appear, because there was a question on this in the chat. New episodes will appear on Tuesday on our podcast feeds now, correct?
Tuesday at the latest. They may end up showing up later in the day on Monday. So I think we're still kind of figuring out what that looks like. But Monday, Tuesday, you know, with the latest. So thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, everyone, for listening at home. And until next Monday, we'll catch you later.